Well, the message that I've got tonight for us, I felt probably deserved a little bit of an introduction to just kind of cast the vision for how unusual of a person we get to interact with in this man Jesus. And I thought, what better way than with some visuals?
Yeah.
So I was thinking about just people who have some pretty interesting jobs, interesting job descriptions. And I thought of the firefighter. A firefighter, you know, they've got this really interesting job description that they save cats and, you know, do a couple other things as well. But when they're doing the thing that they're really supposed to be doing, they are having a fight with fire and they're using water. Like, what an unusual job. I mean, that is just, to me, I just think about that and go, you're trained to go and fight an element. Like, that's just so epic to me. That's just, anyway. Next one, astronaut. I think about the astronaut. I go, man, this guy's got an interesting job description. He you know, gets to hang out in a pool for a long time and kind of get ready because, you know, they use the whole zero gravity concept. And so they use the water. You know, they stick them in the big suit and stick them in the water to get them kind of ready. And then they have to figure out how to do some stuff and what their atrophy and stuff's going to happen to them when they're up in space for a long time. So they do a bunch of training. But when they're actually doing their job, they're in space floating around. Like, zero gravity, like, is it really a flip when there's no such thing as up? I mean, like, they just kind of, I mean, they're just doing stuff, and they're out there working on stuff, and they're traveling around in space. That is, like, such an unusual job. And then the hazmat workers. Man, these guys are crazy. Their job is to touch hazardous material. Like, to get trained for it, you know, they're like getting ready. You know, they've got to smell all this stuff and know what the chemistry of all this stuff is. But when they're actually doing their job, they're supposed to come into a place that's totally biohazard ridden and, like, clean it up. Like, what a weird, crazy, unusual job. It's just a crazy job. And then there's God, whose job description is the impossible. Whose job description is infinite, whose job description is the worker of miracles. And I'm in awe by God, by who he is, by how unusual he is. I've got a friend who's in the CIA, and when he tells me stuff about his job, I'm just, my mind is just blown. I'm like, whoa. We're talking about these different, you know, job descriptions, a firefighter, just all the unusual nature of these guys' jobs. There is no one who is more unusual, more incredible than our God. He is the God of the impossible. God can do things that no one can do. The God of the impossible. So that's our message tonight. As we're going to look a little bit at the resurrection story, but I'm just so marked by this God that we get to be in relationship with, this God of the impossible. So I've got a few takeaways for us tonight. As we look at God's resume, I mean, he did Genesis 1. That's kind of a big deal. I mean, that's part of God's job description. He did Genesis 1. He created that cosmos we were looking at a second ago out of nothing. He did that. He did all the miracles of Exodus. He did all those crazy miracles. He got, you know, 3 million people and all the livestock and everything else out of Egypt, and then all the miracles in the desert. He did that. He brought Christ back from the dead, the resurrection of the dead. And this is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. I'm just thinking about the God that did Genesis 1, is the God that did the Exodus miracles, is the God that sent Jesus and then raised Jesus from the dead. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That same God is alive right now.
Amen.
That God is alive. And that we get to have relationship with him. I'm blown away by this. I want to, tonight, as some takeaways, I want to recognize that our lives are better off the more God gets involved. I mean, the more the God of infinites, the God of everything, the God who does the impossible, the more that God gets involved in our lives, the better everything is. I mean, the better things work, the better off we are, the better our inheritance later on will be. Everything is better off the more we get that God involved in our lives. Second, I want to provoke us tonight to believe God to do his job description. Impossible things. I want to provoke us tonight to believe God to do things that are impossible. They can't happen. They're impossible. Impossible. They will not happen. And I want to provoke us to believe God to do things that are impossible. And then describe a little bit of how we get him involved in our circumstances a little more. It's my hope. So today's Resurrection Sunday. And this is the day that we celebrate the life and the sacrificial death of Jesus. And probably most places that are preaching Jesus today and tonight are probably reading excerpts of the storyline of Jesus. The storyline of him before Pontius Pilate. The storyline of him dying on the cross between the two thieves. And then 3 days later, coming up out of the tomb. This is a day where the churches are filled. And I am just marked by not so much the resurrection of Jesus, but what that resurrection bought us. What that resurrection made a way for. What that resurrection meant. It's not about Jesus raising from the dead. The celebration is about the resurrection, about why he came in the first place. He came that we might have life. We've got John 10 through 18. Put that up if we can. And I'm reading this passage and I'm shocked by, in John 10 here, I'm shocked by Jesus connecting the concepts of why he came to his resurrection. He connects these concepts. We're going to be able to get that one up. Candy, what do you think? Yes, no, working on it? Okay. Well, if you've got Bibles or some electronic way to get there, John 10, verse 10 through 18. And I just give a little excerpt here of that passage. This is what Jesus said. He says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So the reason Jesus came, he came for a purpose. He came to buy us life. He came that we might have life and have it to the full. And then he says, I'm the good shepherd. And you know what the good shepherd does? He lays down his life for his sheep. Here he is speaking of his death. He says, I know my sheep. This is the good part. He says, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. See this? Him coming to give us life, it's him coming that we might know him and that he might know us. The reason I was bored in church when I would go from time to time on Easter or whatever I would go is because I didn't have life. I didn't know him. I knew about the religion called Christianity, but I didn't have an active relationship with him. I didn't have life in me. So of course I was bored. Of course it didn't make a lot of sense. But Jesus said, I know my sheep and my sheep know me and they'll listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason that my Father loves me is that I lay down my life. But look here, the resurrection, only to take it up again. This passage is describing the thing that just excites me the most about our walk, this new life that we have in Christ, and that is a relationship with the living God. And this relationship is connected to him laying down his life and taking it up again. And this relationship promises that we'll know him. It promises that he'll know us. It promises that we'll hear his voice. We'll be able to discern his voice and follow him. This relationship promises that we'll be together as the people of God. And he says, the reason that my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me. But I lay it down of my own accord, and I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. He came, he didn't die on that cross because of someone's will. He says, no one can take this from me. I lay it down. And the reason my Father loves me so much is because I lay it down. And then I Take it back up again. And when I take it back up again, then we'll be able to fulfill why I came. Because why I came was to give them life, that they may know me, that they may hear my voice, that they may walk with me. But it's all connected to the power that I have within me, the power of humility to lay down my life, because no one could take it from me, and the power that's within me to raise back up again, that now I might impart that life to all who would believe and come after me. Whew, I just like that. So he's raised to life. God raised Christ from the dead so that Christ would be alive. This is really all about the relationship, because you can't have a relationship with a dead man. You can't interact with the dead. We actually got some scriptures that say don't do that. So if you ever get the opportunity, don't. Okay? But Jesus isn't dead. He's alive. He was raised from the dead that we might have a relationship with an alive person. I mean, he already did the work on the cross. I mean, he bought our salvation. He paid for our sins on the cross. Your sins would have been forgiven, but you can't have a relationship with a dead person. So he was raised to life that we might have a relationship with the man who bought us, with the man who covered our sins by his blood. He was resurrected so we could have a relationship. He could have just stayed dead. I mean, God could have written it into the scriptures just a little bit differently and not have Jesus rise from the dead. He still would have been God. Still would have died for our sins. Still would have paid the price. But we wouldn't be able to enter into relationship. And so God raised him from the dead that we might be able to have a relationship with a man who's alive, with Jesus. He redeemed sinful man. God raised Christ from the dead so that we might believe in him, that he is the Savior of mankind. And those who would receive this man made alive again would also receive the redemption of their own dead soul. Christ was dead and he was made alive. And now when we receive him, our dead soul is made alive. Part of the reason I was bored in church is because I was dead inside. I didn't know Jesus. I didn't know him. I knew about the religion. I'd heard the stories. I'd gone to church a couple of times. I knew that. But I wasn't alive inside. But I'm alive inside now. And man, all that boredom's gone. I don't even remember what it's like to be bored, honestly. It's been so long, been so crazy, so wild of a journey. I don't even remember what boredom's like. Sometimes I even wish I could be bored for an hour. Things are crazy. But that when we receive the one who was raised from the dead, we also receive that life. And that life comes on our inside, in our inner man. And our own dead soul now finds life in Christ. God raised Christ from the dead so that we could know God and have this relationship. The resurrection of Jesus is really about a relationship with the God who does the impossible. The God who does the impossible. Jesus, you can't raise a person from the dead. I mean, man, we got medical science that's trying to do, you know, amazing feats, and they can't. When somebody's dead, they're dead. It's over. It's impossible. They're not coming back. They're dead. And yet, God raised Christ from the dead. Because God is the God who does the impossible. But it was through that particular impossible act, the raising of Jesus from death, that bought us the relationship with the Father. I can just see the Father anxious that day, waiting. I mean, those 3 days must have been tough for the Father, just to watch his son and know what was going on. But he's anxious. He's anxious. Because he knows when he does this particular impossible event, and God's really good at impossibles. He's done a lot of them. But when he does this particular impossible event, he knows that he buys a way for mankind to enter into relationship and to know him through his son. Ooh, just love that. And what this means for us is that those who would come after Jesus would have life and have it to the full. That's why he came. He came for that purpose. If we don't have life to the full, we haven't even entered into what it is that he came for. He came that we might have life and might have it to the full. I'm just on this journey. I just don't want to get settled. I don't want to settle down. I want my heart to continually be pursuing for more of God. For fullness, for having life to the full. I don't want to settle into my 30s and just kind of, you know, simmer down. I want to go for it. He died that we might have life to the full. And whatever full looks like, that's what I want. Oh, I don't want to just settle. So wherever we're at in our walk, trying to decide if we want to give our life to Jesus or some steps down the road, I don't want to settle. I want to have life to the full because that's why he came. Was for fullness. So we got to press. We got to press on. We got to press on, press in, press forward, press past. I don't want to settle. I want to keep moving forward to have life to the full. But what I've found, and I think you guys have found it too, is that to press gets you a little anxious. To press costs a little bit. To press gets you outside your comfort zone a little bit. And if you're not outside your comfort zone a little bit, you're probably not pressing. That's just been my experience. I'd give you a bunch of gym analogies, but you all know I don't work out, so that won't work. But the point is that I don't want to settle, but I recognize to say I don't want to settle really means I have to intentionally make myself a little bit uncomfortable because I'm not going to press into the things of God sitting on my couch. It's going to take some energy, some effort, some pressing from my own heart, pressing in my prayer life, pressing in my relationship with God. It's going to take some pressing. And that's just where I'm at right now. And so I'm thinking about Resurrection Sunday and the reason that he came was that we might have life. Most of you know the stories. They're in the Gospels. Read them. They're great. I don't discount the stories. I'm just so fired up about knowing this God more who does the impossible. And that the foundation that bought us this relationship was the impossible, the raising of a man from the dead. I want to know him. I just want to know him. So God's in the impossible business. Transition here a little bit. And this is good news for us because our relationship with him means we have access to his power. It means we have access to his capacity. It means we have access to the impossible. Yeah. I can't do the impossible, but I know one who can. Oh, that's really good. Not only that, he's wise, so he can cover up all the mistakes that I would do if I could actually do the impossible. Do you know how reckless we would be? If we actually had the power to do whatever crazy impossible thing we wanted to, there'd be war all the time, we'd all be dead. It's wisdom that God is the God who does the impossible. He's also the God of great wisdom. And that through a relationship with him, we can touch his capacities and his wisdom to do the impossible. God is able. Ephesians 3:20. Passage you guys know well. I like the way that the New King James says it. Ephesians 3:20. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. He is able. God is able. There is nothing he's unable to do. We serve a God who is able. If the question, could God do this? The answer is always yes. God is able. He is able to do more than you could ever think up with a team of billionaires all sitting around strategizing great ideas. Whatever that team came up with in 100 years, God can do so much more than that team could ever fathom. And that God lives in us by his Holy Spirit, and we have access to that. We have relationship with the God who can do exceedingly abundantly above anything, everything, all things we could ever collectively come up with. That God. And we're in relationship with him. Sounds to me like if we could just tap into that, we might have life to the full, which is why he came. I don't want to settle. Whatever I've experienced in God, I do not want to settle. Because if I could think it up, he could snicker at my big idea. Whatever I could think up, the biggest, highest thing, he could just go, he's so cute, look at him. You see what he came up with? Oh, man. Try again. He is able. He does impossible things. Luke 18:27. The Gospels are filled with testimonies just like this. I just grabbed one. Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." Well, I'm in this situation. I got this thing going on. It's impossible. Good. Good. Give God an opportunity to do his job description. Because what's impossible with you? Because you're right, it's impossible. You're a dead man. That's over. You're toast. But what's impossible with man is possible with God. God can do it. I mean, we are so easily tripped up by the smallest little hurdles. You know, the runners, they're running those races and they got the hurdles like this, and they leap over them like it's just a step. I mean, it's crazy. Their legs just go up and down. It's crazy. We get tripped up by hurdles that are like an inch off the ground. Ah! Look at it! Hurdle! It's like 10 centimeters high. We get tripped up by the smallest things. We call them impossible. You're right. So what? You're friends with God. And God is able to do way more than you could ever need or ask or imagine. But we don't ever press in. We just give up when we see the hurdle. Oh, roadblock. Guess this is over. Whatever.
Right.
Oh, our God is able. Our God is able. I imagine he's half bored sometimes. Trying to get us to believe. Trying to get us to take that step over that hurdle. Trying to get us to press. Oh, we serve a God who can overcome and desires to.
That's good.
On our behalf in everything.
Amen.
Everything. He's looking for us to partner with him. Matthew 17:20. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. Any of you guys seen a mustard seed? I'd never seen one until I got married, and Amy got this crazy spice rack. It's got all these little seeds in it. I always knew they were small. I just never seen one before. Those are really small. Like, imagine a BB. Cut a BB in a fourth. That's a mustard seed. That's an itty-bitty little seed. He says, if you got one of those, faith the size of that. I think he's making fun of us, actually. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to a mountain, move from here to there and it'll be done. Nothing will be impossible for you. I love this connection point. Jesus has already got the testimony. We just read it. That what is impossible with man is possible with God. But here he goes a step further and he says, here's the connection point. It's called faith. And if you'll have faith, you will be able to do the impossible. But it's not faith in your strength. It's not faith in how cool you are. You're not that cool. It's faith in him. It's faith in his ability. It's faith in his Genesis oneness. It's faith in his miracles of Exodusness. It's faith in the power that raised Christ from the dead that now dwells in you. It's faith that God is able. Mark 9:23, it's the second part of that same story, just a different gospel account. Mark 9:23 says this, "Everything is possible for the one who believes." And immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief." You know, I love this verse. I've loved it since I came to know the Lord and you know, in 99 and probably just a couple of months in, I found this verse and just fell in love. This verse is God the impossible willing to bargain. Okay? First, we know it takes faith. It takes faith to do the impossible, to partner with God. You have to have faith, but faith even as small as a mustard seed. God's like, you come to the table with faith the size of a mustard seed, and I'll take it. But then he reduces it. Mustard seed now becomes the new high bar. The new low bar that counts is, I don't even believe, but I wanna. Does that count? God says, I like you so much that counts. You want to believe, but you can't because it's too crazy. Yeah, well, okay, I'll take that. Just talk to me about it. Let's talk it through. Let's have a conversation. Jesus gets all excited. Go read that passage. That Mark 9 passage is beautiful. It says, I do believe. No, I lied. Help me overcome my unbelief because I really don't believe. But it'd be nice if I did. That would be good. I love that passage. That's so marking to me. Because we can all relate to that. You know, we may not all have the big faith, like, I can move the mountain, I can... And some of the folks that think they can move the mountain, whew. But all of us can relate to this guy. Man, I want to believe, like, I know my Bible says I should. I know that, like, if I had faith, really small faith, make fun of me faith, size of a mustard seed faith, I know if I had that I could get some things done down here. I could see some things shift. I just am so weak. I can't even believe for that. But God, oh God, help. Help me overcome the lack of faith. Help me, because I want to get stuff done. I want to see you move. I want to press in. I want to see the impossible happen. I want to partner with you on some crazy journeys. I want to have some stories to tell upstairs that cause the angels to drop their jaw. I want to. But you're not going to get it out of me without help, Father. Help me overcome my complete, total unbelief. It's a great starting point. Yeah. He's so willing to bargain. He lowered the bar all the way down to, I'd like to believe. I want to believe. Man, we can start there. That's a great starting point. Well, so what do we got to do to get God involved anyway? I mean, we've been talking about kind of these big concepts of the God of the impossible, getting him involved in our lives. He's able. We just got to, you know, have faith. So what does it look like? Well, I think all of us, I'll just start off with this. I think all of us need to get God more involved in our lives. More. All of us. I know most of you. We need to get God more involved in our lives. And it's not enough to just think about our circumstances. Like we can think our way through it. It's definitely not enough to just complain about our circumstances. Well, the hurdle, 10 centimeters high. It's crazy. It's not enough to talk about it. It's not enough to think about it. It's not enough to complain about it. That's worthless. It doesn't help anything. And that will not get us to the next step. A couple of little starter points. Pray about it. What's the it? You know, if you're like, well, I don't know, I ain't got anything. Ask God to give you something. There's a great little prayer. God, give me something crazy to pray for that would take faith. But God, have mercy on me because you know how weak I am. So give me something I could actually believe you for, but help me overcome my unbelief. I mean, just start a dialogue. Just start a dialogue with them. Start praying about it. Whatever the it is, a lot of you guys have got its in your lives. You're looking at those hurdles. Whatever it is, it's taken so long. The thing just didn't happen. I can't seem to get out of this rut. I got this issue. I'm stuck here. I got this job, this thing, this relationship. I just can't. Right? It's impossible. Congratulations. Now get the God of the impossible involved. Start praying about it. You know what I've found? I found praying about it normally starts off with me stopping complaining to a person and starting to look up and kind of Christianly complaining to God. God, this thing won't work. What's going on up there? I mean, I've been trying, you know. God loves that. That's a great starting point. Don't stay there, but that's a great way to begin the conversation. Just be real. Lord, this hurdle, it's all 10 centimeters high. What am I going to do? Talk to him about your 10 centimeter issue. Talk to him. But I've found that it's really good to go a step further as quick as you can and start praying and asking the Lord for his perspective on that situation. You know, Jesus told us that if we're his sheep, we'll hear his voice. Well, I think the Lord would love to talk to us about some of our 10 centimeter situations. But we so often just handle it ourselves. We've got to get him involved. Start asking him for his perspective on the issue. Start asking him for what he thinks about what he's doing. And talk it out with him. The Lord starts speaking to you a little bit or doesn't. Start talking it out with the Lord. Lord, I want to see you do this. Start dreaming. Start imagining what it would be like if the Lord would do that thing. If that impossible thing would happen. You know? I'm just thinking even about the mountain. I'm just imagining this farmer whose wife is just, she's set. She grew up in this little town and she is not moving. And it's just all rocky and hilly and mountainy. And he's a farmer. He's like, how am I going to farm this place? He can't get his wife to budge. He starts dreaming. What if God would give me faith to move that mountain over there and make that a nice fertile field? That'd be nice. I could make some money over there. He starts dreaming. He starts thinking about Jesus' promise about moving a mountain. He found a practical something or other to do with it. Start thinking about what could be. Because again, the Lord says, if you can think it, I can do bigger. If you can ask it, if you can imagine it, I can do bigger than that. Go ahead, get your... That helps kind of prime the faith pump. You know, imagining what could be. It's helpful. Get your faith engaged. Start talking it out with the Lord. Well, Lord, you don't have to do it this way, but if you do this, could you get this done this way? Or, you know, Lord, how could I partner with you? It's dialogue with the Lord. It's dialogue. It takes dialogue. And I've found that a lot of times to see some of those mountains move in our lives, it takes a little bit of time. Got to work at it. You know, I don't know how in the natural, how big a deal it would be to move a mountain, but I imagine it'd take a little bit of work. You know, sometimes it's like that to get things done. But the Lord says you can move mountains. It's not impossible for you. Just believe. But that believing requires that we press in, that we dialogue with God about some of this stuff. Try to hear what he's saying about the situation. The Lord may want to do a miracle in the situation. It may not even be the miracle you want. It might not be even the miracle you're thinking. But I'll tell you, the more we dialogue with the Lord, the more he'll speak back. The more open-ended conversations you start with the Lord. Lord, what do you think about that? How do you feel about this? What do you want to do about this area of my life? And then tomorrow, hey, I'm back again. What do you want to do about this area of my life? I'll play the quiet game, huh? I'll be back. The more we have that conversation with the Lord, the more we start those conversations, the more he'll speak. What if I don't think it works this way, but what if the Lord has got a 1 to 50 ratio? Every conversation you start, 1 out of 50 of them, he'll start answering. Well, shooby-doo, I want to start 200 conversations today. I'd like to hear from the Lord before 8 o'clock. We got to start some conversations. Start having some dialogue with the Lord. I don't know what the number is, but it's something like what I just said. There's some, I don't know how he does it, but you start talking to him about life and the stuff, and you start engaging faith, you start asking him his perspective, he'll start speaking. It's fun. It's life to the full kind of stuff. Ask him to speak to you more about the situation and to lead you. This is a beautiful prayer. So start thinking about whatever your 10 centimeter issue is. And you probably think you know the answer, and it's probably wrong. I mean, most of the time, mine's wrong. I always have the answer. It's just mostly wrong. Start thinking about your 10 centimeter issue, and start asking the Lord to speak to you more about the situation and to lead you. Go, well, Lord, I mean, okay, so I got the 10 centimeter problem right here. It's all 10 centimeters, whatever you got. It's the same problem. I got this 10 centimeter issue. Lord, how do I I just want to get rid of it. I want to get rid of it. And maybe the Lord's like, you just got to go around it, son. But you'd never known that if you didn't have the conversation. The Lord might give you more info about the situation. He might tell you the right way to handle it. Maybe you've been doing it this way, this way, this way. And the Lord says, no, I want you to come at it from this angle. I want you to just pray. In fact, leave that there for a while. I'm not doing anything with it for a year. Just let it sit there. Oh. Well, if the Lord told you a timing on something, wouldn't that be helpful? Then you kind of know what you're supposed to be doing. Man, that's great. That's great. What if the Lord refused to give you that kind of information unless you dialogued with him about it a little bit? He just refused to give that information out freely. Refused. He just won't do it. But if you talk with him and you talk with him, you ask him some questions, you dialogue with him, might share more info with you that's infinitely helpful. We have this incredible access to this God who does impossible things, and he is not afraid at all to play the quiet game with us. Man, he's just not. He just sits there. But he's there. And sometimes he's willing to speak. I'll just give you a freebie. If you ever feel something that smells kind of like what I'm about to describe, go for it. You feel the subtlest, just the littlest nudge that if you started having a prayer time with the Lord right then, he might speak to you. Stop whatever you're doing. Get out of bed. Turn off the radio in the car. Whatever. If you have the slightest inclination that the Lord might speak to you right then, whatever you do, engage. That is the time. Go for it. I've had a couple of those moments where I was busy. I was doing something. And it's just like, I just felt like the Lord was like, you need to get alone with me right now. And get alone can just be stick your fingers in your ears and go la, 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 and get away from everybody in a crowded room. Easy. But just get alone with the Lord for a moment. And I felt the Lord speak and give me insight about things I was asking about. A question I maybe asked him last week. That last week, he was playing a quiet game. But he had an appointment with me a week later when I was busy. He says, how about now? Lord, not now. What are you doing? I'm preaching. Get alone with him. Take those moments. Take those moments because he might speak more information. You want to get him involved in your life. The more we can get the God of the impossible involved in our life, the better off everything is. It's just better. Here's another one. This is kind of tough. This one's tough. Believe what you hear him say. It's kind of tough when it just seems like it totally could have just been you. Well, it was probably just me. Do you think it might have been God? Yeah, I think it might have been. I say go for it. We're in a good community. We got people that love you. You're hearing crazy voices, we'll tell you. I say if you're getting alone with God, God, lead me. Talk to me. Tell me stuff. And you're hearing stuff, believe what you hear God say. And then, this one's crazier. Take steps you feel him leading you to take. Take those steps. This is our faith. It's impossible that God would speak to man, and he does. It's impossible that we could hear God's voice, and we can. It's impossible that these crazy things that I think I'm hearing the Lord say to me could possibly be real. And that's how he leads. Most of the time, that's how he leads. It's still, it's small, it's faint. It's easily dismissible. It's crazy talk. But here's the thing. God, it's impossible to please him without faith. And this is faith believing that God is. And that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Diligently seeking God looks the same for all of us. It's weak and seems very easily dismissed. That's what seeking God looks like for all of us. And God says, yeah, I like it when you believe my still small voice. Well, I don't even know if it was your still small voice. I'm still trying to figure all this out. Just go for it. Just go for it. You'll learn. You know, I don't like what I'm about to say because it demands messy Christianity. What I'm about to say is not safe. There is no way for you to learn how to hear God's voice except to mess up first. A lot. Well, that wasn't God's voice, but the other one was. It sounded so similar. You got to learn your way. There is no way forward except the hard way. There is no way to be able to engage faith with God and to believe Him for the impossible except to stick your neck out there and look like a fool. There is no way, because your ear has to be trained to hear His voice. Because the Lord, in all honesty, rewards faith, and the bulk of the word faithfulness is faith. And in order to be faithful, you had to have faith for a while. And the Lord rewards faithfulness. You've got to have faith for a while. And faith is pretty silly, because it's believing impossible things. It's believing that God could really be speaking. It's believing that God might really actually move on my behalf. I just want us to be a community that's just going for it. You know, listen, you got small group leaders, they'll help you if you're about to do something really crazy. We got a community of people that love you. If you feel God speaking to you, if it lines up with the Word of God, just go for it. Just do it. We got to learn how to hear God's voice. We got to get God, the God of the impossible, involved in our lives. And the only way to do that, it's just messy. It's just messy. It's you and me who are broken, trying to hear God, and then trying to do what it is we think God said, and then believing it even when it looks like crazy. And that's faith. I'll tell you a little story that you all believe that's pretty crazy. So there's this guy that came from the sky, okay? And he came here, and he never, ever did anything wrong, even though he was tempted 24/7. He never made a mistake, okay? And then, because he's just such a nice guy, he just decided to die for all human beings. And that who would ever believe this crazy story would get to live forever. That's your faith. It's crazy. It's totally crazy. And that's the story. It's impossible. That's impossible. And it's real. And this is our faith. That there is a God in heaven. And that when we enter into relationship with Him, we enter into His capacities. We enter into the ability to do the impossible by faith through Him. We enter into, as John 16 says, the capacity by the Holy Spirit to be led into all truth and to be shown what's yet to come. The John 10 passage that we're His sheep, He speaks, we hear His voice, and we follow Him. This is our faith. And yeah, it's pretty impossible. 1 John 5:14 says this. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God. So John 5:14 through 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of Him. This is the Apostle John training the New Testament church how to have a relationship with God. It says it's about partnering with the impossible God, the God who does impossible things, with the craziest job description ever. And there is some maturing that we all need to undergo. All of us need to undergo the maturing of learning what the Lord's will is. But the only way to figure that out is to just go for it. Read your Bible, ask some questions of some people that have been doing it a little longer than you, and go for it. There is no other way to find out what God's will is, because There's no book anywhere that was written for you that tells you what to do on a Tuesday. I mean, you've got to figure this thing out. But this says we can have confidence in approaching God. You don't need some prophet or some pastor, but you just, you and God. You can have a conversation with God and be confident that if you ask anything according to His will, you'll have it. That's the reason earlier I was talking about how we engage, how do we get Him involved. It's so important that we ask Him what He's thinking, how He feels. What's your perspective on this? Because we want to get His opinion. We want to figure out what His will is. Well, actually, Brad, what I'd really like to do in this situation is this. Oh, wow. I was trying to, quit that. That's not what I, go over here. To figure out what His will is, and then when we figure out His will, we can have confidence. Confidence that we can ask Him for it and that it will be given to us. We try to do everything ourselves, and so we don't ask. These are the hindrances. It really comes down to the issue of not asking. That's what I'm convinced of. It's you don't have because you don't ask God. So much of the reason we're not experiencing the God of the impossible is we don't ask for 10 reasons. A few of them. We try to do everything ourselves, so we don't ask. We don't even think about asking God. It doesn't even dawn on us to ask God to get involved, to help us, to do this thing, to shift something. It doesn't even dawn on us. Next, we don't believe He'll do it, so we don't ask. We don't ask because we don't believe He'd do it. He won't do that. God won't do that. Well, you're right. I mean, with that attitude, you're right. He won't do that. So we just stop. We just go, he doesn't care about my 10-centimeter issue. He doesn't care. So He won't do anything about it. So I'm just stuck with this issue. It's just how it's going to be. And so we don't ask. We stop asking because it doesn't land the way we want. We have this idea. We did some of the dreaming I was talking about earlier. We kind of dream up, what if it went this way? And things don't seem to be aligning that way, so we just quit. We just give up. We stop asking. It's not going the way we want. That thing last time didn't go the way that we wanted. It's just I'm done. I'm done asking. I'm not going to ask. But we can have confidence that if we ask according to His will, we'll have what we ask. But we don't ask. We stop asking. We give up because it's taking too long. Too long. And we give up. And the Lord's got a day circled on His calendar. It's pretty epic. He's got this day circled on the calendar that if we stay faithful in praying for that thing until that day, magically it appears all of a sudden. The 10-centimeter issue goes away. But the darndest thing, if we stop one day short of that circled day, He's just waiting. He's just waiting. He's just waiting. We give up because it's taking too long. Listen, I'll help you out. It's always going to take too long. Every time you want to pull out your hair, it's going to take much longer than you want it to. And now that you've heard that, just go for it. See? Oh, it's taking too long. Yeah, like Brad said. Yeah, he said this is how it works. It always takes frustratingly too long. And now that you know that, you're equipped. You go forth, men and women of God. You're set. Now you know it's going to take too long. So stick with it. Persevere. Don't give up. Don't give up. There's a day circled on the calendar in heaven. You just got to get there. Just keep pressing through. Don't give up. You know, He could make it happen faster if He wanted to. He doesn't. If you're doing your part, and again, your part is, that's your part, okay? It's pretty simple. I mean, but you got to stick with it. If you'll do your part, there is no possible way it can happen faster. And He likes it that way. He's very comfortable with the delay. He's just like waiting. If you're doing your part, if you're engaged in faith, you're, Lord, do this thing, do this thing. You are at 100%, and God is at 100%, and there is still a time delay, and He will not move it one day faster, and He likes it that way. He thinks it's a good idea. So just partner with His timing. Ask Him for some perspective on His timing. Lord, is this one of those things that's like a soon thing? Or is this one of those things that's like a long thing? I just want to know what I'm setting up here for. Lord, just, and if you don't hear anything, just assume it's like 50 years. It's easier for the heart. Just 60 years. Just give it some time. But the Lord wants to do the impossible, but our hearts grow faint so easy. They just grow faint so easy. You know, I don't have time. I'm already over, but I was going to read you some scriptures that you guys are all familiar with that just talk about prayer and persistence and how important it is to the Lord that we learn how to pray and keep asking and keep asking and keep asking. You know, to me, the asking actually isn't even the issue. It's the faith behind what would make you possibly ask that again. Why would you just set yourself up for so much disappointment? You've already asked 200 days in a row. Why would you do it again today? I mean, the asking really doesn't take that much. It's the faith behind the asking that is the persistence. And God says over and over with regard to prayer, there's stuff I wasn't even going to do, but you just wouldn't leave me alone, so I'm going to do it. But I won't do it unless you get to the point of such persistence that I'm annoyed. He uses the parable and, like, you know, the unjust judge, like, he's annoyed. The neighbor, the coming knocking on the door, he's annoyed. He's like, all right, well, I'll do it if you annoy me. Listen, we can't give up. I want to see God do some crazy things in my life. I want to see Him do crazy things in yours. But it's going to come down to you getting hold of God and not letting go and staying persistent in the place of prayer no matter what, because He says that we have confidence in approaching Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, we can be confident that we have what we ask for. I've seen God do some crazy things, and they all cost me 10 times as much prayer as I really wanted to give. This persistence thing, it is the issue to see the God of the impossible move. Persistence means until. I want to encourage us as a church to stop putting time frames on anything. Until. I'm going to pray until I die or I see God do this impossible removal of my 10 centimeter problem. I am going to do it until. And I think God goes, ooh, He's serious. Angels are all, well, if He's serious, can we go ahead and give it to Him early? No, not a chance. No way. No. Let's let Him 10 times as long as He's really willing to do, actually. But there's a day circled on the calendar. It's just 10 times longer than you want it to be. And God will do the impossible. I want to see God do the impossible. He is the God of the impossible. It's His job description. It's the firefighter who never gets to fight a fire. All he gets to do is save cats all day long. He's bored. God is the God of the impossible. But He has to have us partner with Him in faith, in prayer, and in persistence to do the impossible through us and in our world and in our circumstances. And He desperately wants to. But He won't bypass His personality and His precepts, which require persevering prayer. So I want to encourage us. Let's latch hold of the Lord. Let's see God do impossible things. And the truth of the matter is, if this pep talk works today, we still don't even really get to see the fruit of it for years. Because if you guys all jump on board, some of these things that you're going to pray for might take 10 times longer than you want, and it might be down the road. Let's start laboring in the place of prayer to see God do impossible things. And I'll tell you what I love. Is God the God of great mystery? You're just so sure this one, you get yourself set up from the last 10 things. It was going to take forever. It was going to take forever. And he does it in a week. Because he's mysterious. And just to throw you for a loop, sometimes he go ahead and throw you a bone. And you see that crazy breakthrough happen in a minute. And because you don't know which it's going to be, you just labor until. So everybody stand. Father, I thank you tonight for the relationship that we get to have with you. I thank you for your personality. You are wild. You are wild. You are impossible. It is impossible to be that powerful, that good, that able, that high thinking, that loving, that desirous to give us good gifts as a father, and yet you are. I thank you for this relationship. Father, would you help us? We're a weak people. We're a small community. But would you help us to press in for impossible things? And God, would you throw out some of the most amazing testimonies? The small things in our life, the job situations, the difficulties, the friends that are in need, the problems we can't solve, the things that we really want to see happen, the desires of our heart, that healing, that miracle. Those things, God, in our lives, the little things, the daily things, the big things, the job things, the move things, the big things, I pray, God, big and little, would you help us to begin to partner with you and to pray for the impossible and to stay persistent in the place of prayer and to believe you. And God, would you be the God of the impossible and move on our behalf, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, as always,